thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Java with Josh. I'm your host, legislator Josh Lafazan. Today we have a really exciting show with New England Patriots linebacker Brandon Copeland joining us. As we say every week, having big dreams is common, but figuring out how to achieve those dreams is rare. On this show, we interview some truly incredible people to share their journeys to success and give you the tools to reach your dreams. So grab your cup of Java and let's go. Brandon, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I met you a few years ago. You are every bit as cool as people think you are. You're just a really remarkable guy. You're so approachable. And, you know, for our fans who maybe aren't sports enthusiasts and don't know you, you have an incredible resume. So Brandon Copeland, while many recognize this 8-year NFL veteran for his prowess on the football field, others know him as an Ivy League professor, a financial education consultant, philanthropist, or real estate developer. And we're going to get into this. As a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business, Brandon developed a passion for personal finance, which he delivers to Penn students through his own course, Life 101. And I better be taking that because I'm at Penn now. I better be taking that. Brandon has also shared his financial acumen with countless others as a member of CNBC's Financial Wellness Council and a contributing editor for Kiplinger's Personal Finance. So much to talk about, but I want to take us back. Because you have one of the coolest jobs in the world. So can you take us back to the playing career? I'll go back to even JV or varsity. What was it like to be playing football? Did you know this was going to be something you were going to pursue? Take us back to the early days of the playing career.
Yeah, football was always an outlet for me, especially, you know, being younger, having my own, you know, anger issues, so to speak. I was never a super violent kid, but I always was fortunate to have an outlet where I could work out my frustrations with things going on in my life and things going on off the field. And, you know, fortunately, you know, I've been able to take that outlet and turn it into a career and, still enjoy it. But ultimately I know and understand that it doesn't last forever. I know that it's not guaranteed. And for me, I used it as a springboard to enable the other dreams that I've had. So since I've been in high school, I've looked at football as a means to an end. It was a way to get to college. And then, you know, I've found that football could be a way for me to go obviously to the NFL and get a bunch of startup capital and be able to fund some of my own dreams and things like that. So for me, the motivation has always been a little bit different than I'd say the average football player, although that's not to offend anybody else, because there's a number of football players who are doing amazing things off the field. But for me, my vision has always been a bit bigger than just being a good linebacker.
Well, I love that. And you do so much, and we're going to get into it. But I want to know, listen, I played a little JV lacrosse, wasn't very good. But when I stepped onto that field and we had about 50 fans, I felt like the big show. What was it like to step on the field for your first NFL game? What is it like to be on that field?
Surreal. I mean, you get that national anthem going and you know, you definitely have a bunch of nerves, but you kind of just feel like you're in the midst of a movie. And I mean, for me personally, my own journey has been through the NFL has been tumultuous. So, you know, it's been a roller coaster ride of trying to get onto an NFL team and stay onto an NFL team. And so the time that I finally got to be dressing on a regular season Sunday game, I remember our first game we played against they were still in San Diego at the time, San Diego Chargers. And I remember just taking it all in. And then quickly having to snap out of it because ultimately, you know, the guy across from you doesn't care that you feel like you're in a dream. They're trying to provide for themselves and their families and ultimately embarrass you. So it's amazing, man. I think coming out of the tunnel has always been a highlight for me, knowing that there's a bunch of people who you can make or break their days. Depending on your performance, not only individually, but also as a team, right? And then I love, again, I think the national anthem is a awesome moment, not even necessarily because of the anthem, but it's just a opportunity to reflect and everything gets quiet and you it's that time for me personally to just take a few deep breaths, take a picture. I look around the stadium and just thank God for allowing me to continue playing this game. So
it's so special, and it's something we as fans watch, because you know you can see, you know, the look on the players' faces that I mean, you know, it's really a once in a lifetime experience for you. And I'll tell you, you know, being a Jet fan, you know we loved you and adored you, and I met you with so many Jet fans. I gotta ask though, because I'm a huge sports fan, what's it like to play for Belichick up in New England, man? what has that been like?
It's amazing, man. I'm literally getting my MBA in football. The way he thinks about football down to every single detail, leaving no stone unturned, is second to none, right? It's clear what they've been able to do and we've been able to do as an organization for the past 20 years. And I say they just because I haven't been with them for those 20, all of those 20 years, right? But it's been nothing short of an honor. It's been a pleasure getting to know not only the coach, but also the culture he's created in the building and in the organization, understanding the vets and the guys like Devin and Jason McCourty and Dietrich Wise and, Julian Edelman and Stephon Gilmore, and just seeing how hard they work as a unit and as a team to be better. It's amazing. It's the blueprint.
And I got to ask, because I want to move away from football and talk about all that you do, but I want to ask before we do that, what's the vibe of the league heading into 2021? We saw Brady win his seventh ring. We're going to see you guys back in the Super Bowl.
I'm not making any early predictions right now, but I know one of the biggest things and the hurdle that we all have to continue to accomplish or jump over is COVID and what that space provides. We did one great job as a league getting to the Super Bowl this past season. And, you know, now it's tackling new hurdles and figuring out, you know, what this looks like 5 months from now, 6 months from now, you know, because it's, you know, as more vaccines roll out, you know, that's great. But ultimately, you know, we need to also make sure we don't get complacent in the protection protocols that end up potentially risking us having a full healthy season. And, you know, I pray that we do as a society take leaps and bounds from where we are so that we can have fans again, right? That's one big thing that we missed this year. So I hope 2021 football season looks totally different and sounds totally different on Sundays.
And it's perfect segue for me because, you know, I met you in person, and I watch how you interact with fans. You're really an incredible role model in terms of, you know, you treat everyone with respect and with dignity. Even the remarks you just gave about being conscious of being a good role model for public health. What was it like to become a role model, not just for people around you, but for so many fans like me who you may never get to meet? I mean, was that surreal to become a role model and a public figure, like, almost overnight?
Yeah, I think for me, it's like Spider-Man. I guess, you know, the best place is like Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. And while, you know, I know that some athletes or some people shy away from that mantra or that, you know, hey, I don't want to be a role model. I didn't sign up to be a role model. I signed up to do X, Y, or Z. For me, I don't think I'm actively trying to be a role model. However, I do understand that people are watching what I do. And even things as simple as I have a 19-month-old son. And, you know, he echoes the things that I say. And even when you think he's not watching or paying attention or listening, or you think he's too young to understand, he's understanding. And so, you know, I carry that with a lot of weight and I put a lot of importance on that. So although I'm just being myself, right? Like I'm just fortunate that that's the way my mom and dad and grandparents, my village raised me, is to be respectful, be polite, listen to everybody, be humble in my approach. I'm fortunate to also understand that there are a lot of people watching what I do. And more importantly, to also understand that my words carry weight. And so I can either use that to help and be a positive force in this world, or I can just squander it and let the time pass. Right. So for me, I choose to use it for good. And again, I'm just fortunate to, you know, my mom and my dad, they didn't play that. growing up. So
I love that. And speaking of words having weight, I mean, not too many people can do as much as you do in 24 hours. I mean, so you're an Ivy League professor, and I love the name. The name of your course is Life 101, which I think is awesome. Where did that come from, and what is that, and where do I sign up?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So anybody can sign up for class now, which we finally wrote it out to the public, which is, I'm super, super excited about it. I actually just got a few texts from a few students from class this week, but www.life101.io. So anybody listening that wants to come take class with Professor Cope, www.life101.io. And the name, you know, is funny because sometimes I thought the name was so pure and simple, but sometimes it's so simple that people don't really understand what they're actually getting. But literally think about all of the major life decisions that we have to make. So buying your first house, good versus bad debt, buying versus leasing the car, taxes, budgeting, insurance, wills, estate protection, entrepreneurship, all of these different things that are just constants in life we talk about in this class. Unfortunately, you know, education system hasn't really, for me personally, it never taught me these things, right? It didn't teach me about my 401k or my IRA or how to invest or what a stock and bond even was. And I went to some of the best schools in the country. And I just thought that what we've done with Life 101, my team and I, we've tried to create a safe space where people can have conversations about their money, unfiltered conversations about their money, so that we can learn and grow together from each other's experiences. You know, we shouldn't be making the same financial mistakes, especially if we can save each other some headache, some mental stress, some anxiety, just by having a conversation. So when you come to class, you literally get access to not only me as a professor, but also subject matter experts. So my accountant came to the last class. So people were literally just asking them a bunch of questions that pertain to their own personal situations, which is awesome, right? I have someone come into this class, Kristen Myers, who's a Penn grad as well. She also hosts a show every day on Yahoo Finance about the stock market. So she'll be coming to class this week. You know, it's just opening up the network and just giving access to information. So I'm extremely excited to do it. And again, www.life101.io for anybody who wants to come join the course.
So I'm signing up. I think that's remarkable because it's something that you know, I talk about with my parents in terms of, you know, now again, I'm 27. So, you know, I was off my parents' health insurance a few years ago, but seeing my friends now come off their parents' health insurance, what plan do you take? Right. Yeah. So you're making some money now. Do you invest in an IRA? Do you invest in the market? We heard about this GameStop situation that, you know, there's so much in the news. Do you find, and I want to ask you, because, you know, your roles are so different. Do you find being in the classroom, I mean, is that just unbelievably gratifying? Because you're on the field and you make a play and you have the gratification of the fans, and then it becomes so much more intimate when you're in the classroom. You know, yeah. what is that like to feel the gratification from those students?
Yeah, I think it's cool to help people. For me, my wife and I, we have a foundation, Beyond the Basics, Inc., where we try to help young people realize their full potential. And I look at Life 101 as an extension of that. I think it's awesome to have a former student hit me up and say, hey, Professor Cope, you know, because of your class, I've paid down 75% of my student loans in record time in 2 years, right? And soon I'll be completely debt free. And, you know, for me to have that type of relationship with a former student, say, hey, I love that. Now, pro tip, let's make sure you pay yourself next. Once your debt is paid off, now let's go ahead and pay yourself, put some of the money, keep that line item on your budget, and now put that money towards investing or towards saving for your next home or whatever it may be, right? But I think that to me is the most gratifying thing, because you're not necessarily, I never grew up dreaming of becoming an educator. I definitely have an extreme respect for educators at this point in time, not only with my own experience in the classroom, but then now transitioning to the virtual space, especially those who are trying to teach younger folks on, you know, virtual platforms. I have a 7-year-old twin niece and nephew, and I can tell you, you know, if I was their teacher, I probably would have quit a long time ago. But ultimately, I think that it's an opportunity for me to have a bigger impact on the world and not just on the people who come to my classroom, but the ripple effect in terms of the lives that they're able to have, not only for their children, but then the people that they share this information with, their neighbors, their friends, their cousins, their family members, you know, all those things. So for me, that's the gratifying thing. You don't always get that immediate gratification or that instant gratification. You know, once class ends, it ends. But even, you know, I mean, literally this morning, I've had two students reach out from this past class with more questions or just feedback and positive feedback. So that feels good. But ultimately, again, my thing is I'm for the long run. I want to make sure that their children are in a better predicament because of the life planning they were able to do as a result of my class, as opposed to without it.
I love so much of this, and I want to go back because you mentioned that you and your wife have this foundation. Can you talk about why philanthropy is so important to you? We talked a little bit about this in person, but you know, why philanthropy is so important to you and why it's so important for you to give back to the community? Because it's obviously something that drives your life. And I think you set such a good example for all of us in terms of helping the greater good. But you know, why is it so important to you, and why is it such an important thing to do?
Yeah, so for me, I think it's about legacy. Again, it's you know, I challenge my students this week, and I'll challenge anybody to sit down and write your epitaph. And it sounds really dreary, sounds really like what, right? And for those who don't know what an epitaph is, it's what you want read about you at your funeral service, right? Wow. So it's like, well, why would I think about that? And for me, it was one of the most powerful experiences that I've ever had. My football coach in high school made us do it as seniors, and we actually had to read it to the whole teams aloud. But one of the things you don't hear about is, you know, oh, Brandon Copeland passed away today on X day. And, you know, yes, he drove this nice, fancy car. He had this beautiful, amazing wife. You know, I do think my wife is beautiful, amazing. But, you know, it's not like, oh, he had this trophy wife and he did this and he made this tackle in this big game. Like, for me personally, I'd be really upset if that was what was spoken about at my funeral, as opposed to, yeah, my wife is amazing, but hopefully I have a amazing impact on her life as well, right? My children, the ripple effect I'm able to have on my children and the way that they think and the way that they live because of me. The people at my funeral, I hope that they are impacted far beyond a tackle that I made against the Jets or Dolphins this year, right? And ultimately for me, it's more about finding ways to live beyond my years here. Right. So there are people who will be affected by the things that we're doing in the classroom that will never, ever meet me. And that is the coolest thing in the world.
I think that's where every guest leaves me a little bit speechless in terms of the knowledge that they share. And it's something I'm going to sit down tonight and try to do in terms of think about, because it's never too early to think about our legacy because life is so precious. And I want to segue because something that you embody, which I think is new, but it's hopefully here to stay, is this more than an athlete mantra. And I remember, you know, because, you know, obviously, you know, LeBron James, you know, when he was told to shut up and dribble, it was so condescending, but so outrageous considering the weight of his voice as one of the greatest players of all time. But I see it so much in you that you embody this more than an athlete mantra. Can you talk about what that means to you and why it's so important for athletes to find their voice?
Yeah, thank you. Like you said, it's about setting the example and being a leader. I don't think it's something that's forced, right? You know, I don't want anybody to feel like, okay, I'm an athlete, I have to do this, or I have to stand for this. But there's something you're passionate about it. I just want people to feel empowered to go after it and chase it. You know, for me, I know that football is not the thing that I'll be doing when I'm 80 years old. You know, God willing, I make it to 80. And there's other things that on this earth that I'm passionate about and I want to do. And me personally, I'm just not willing to die with things left unsaid or undone, right? And even if they're not done, I'm not willing to just get older and say I didn't try because of blank, I was too busy or this happened or whatever it may be. So for me, I just, you know, am using my moment in my platform to literally just execute on all the things that I want to do. And again, What comes with that is, you know, a lot of eyes. It comes with a lot of attention. It also comes with a lot of scrutiny and pressure to succeed as well. But that's what athletes do best. So so I'm extremely excited for the opportunity to continue to embody the mantra. But guys like LeBron, Matt Barnes, Baron Davis, Tahir Whitehead, these guys are setting the example. The McCourty twins, guys like that are setting the example. It's, you know, as you said, it's new. And guys have been doing it for some time though, however, but I think that more and more people are growing up, more kids are growing up saying, hey, I want to be like LeBron James and I want to be the best player in the NBA and I want to start a school and I want to help voters and help with voter rights. And I want, you know, and I think that that's the cool thing about it is now people's dreams have levels and layers, as opposed to in the past. I think, you know, for most of us, the dream was to get to the pros, or the dream was to get this great job, insert career here. Now, even for everyone, it's not just pro athletes, for everyone, it's I want to do this and I want to execute on another passion.
It's amazing. And I got to tell you, it's inspiring because, you know, I've seen you, you know, in these intervals and you continue to grow. You think once you get to the NFL, you know, you've accomplished. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, it's, you know, you're a father and you're a teacher and you're an educator and you're a philanthropist. So I just want to say thank you for being a role model for me and an example for so many of us who look up to you, which is why it brings me to the last question I ask. And we ask every single guest this question. You could talk to younger Brandon. What would be the biggest piece of advice that you would give to him, knowing all that you know now?
Do it now. I learned in the eighth grade. Unfortunately, my grandmother passed away, and you know, I was selfish in my time in terms of I didn't go visit her. I didn't think, you know, she was always in and out of hospital. So, you know, I thought, you know, I'll go tomorrow, and then finally, you know, a few days later, they had her on life support and your whole world comes crashing down. You're like, what? And so you realize that time does not wait for you, right? And it's not just always going to be exactly like it was in the past, right? And so for me, that's my only regret to this day. And that was, for me, the moment where I decided I'm going to execute on everything that I want to do, and I'm gonna make time for the things I want to make time for, and I should make time for. I think still, though, as I got older, you know, it was easy, especially getting into the NFL, it was easy to make excuses of like, well, I need to focus on this, well, I need to focus on football, well, I need to focus on this, and to put off a football camp for a couple of years and to put off things for some time until I was completely ready. And, you know, my biggest advice to myself would be, you're never going to be completely ready, right? Like anytime you're doing something new, there's going to be growing pains. There's always going to be something that's not going to go the way you exactly planned, but ultimately just go do it, start it. And, you know, we've gotten here to this point today on, you know, whatever date it is, and we found a way to do it. And we can do that through the plans that we have, the projects that we have, in the ways that we continue to give back to the community. So again, my biggest message to myself would be, go do it now. Don't wait. It's never going to be perfect. Just get it done, because even 80% of yourself is going to benefit and help some people. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but you trying to withhold that 80% until it's 99.9% is just wasting time on the people that you could be impacting today.
I think it's a perfect place to wrap, and it's getting me inspired. It's 10:57, but I'm going to make the most of the day today and get out there every single day. Thank you for inspiring, for encouraging, for coaching, and just for being a really great person. You know, I got to tell you, it's, you know, we look up to athletes, and when athletes are really wonderful off the field as they are on, you know, it really gives us all a dose of inspiration and hope. So thank you for being such a great guy. I'm hoping to see you on the field. You know, I'm going to have a little bit of cognitive dissonance because I'm seeing you in that Patriot jersey, and I'm a Jet fan, but I'm always going to be a huge Brandon Copeland fan, and we hope to have you on the show soon. Thanks again, Brandon.
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me, as always. Looking forward to seeing you in class and seeing anybody else who wants to come to Life 101.
Thanks so much for tuning in. And thank you to Brandon Copeland for an amazing conversation. Make sure to click subscribe to our podcast and check us out on Instagram and Facebook for videos and bonus features. I'd also love to hear your questions and comments. Feel free to shoot me an email at josh@joshlafazan.com. I'm legislator Josh Lafazan, and thanks for joining us at Java with Josh.